Whoa, whoa, whoa. A little early to be hitting the sugar water there, isn't it?
I know. I'm having a hard time finding the perfect gift for Tech.
Hard to buy for, is he?
You have no idea. Last year, I got him a fabric sculpture of his Clockwork Doctor costume. It is perfect. Mini Doc is the best gift ever. And it's one of the only good gifts I've ever been able to get him. And how can I top that?
You have a point there. Hold on. I think I have something you might find interesting.
Okay.
All right. Oh, where is that?
Oh, my God. Is that a...
Exterminate.
Relax. I disabled the gunstick death ray thing.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Are you kidding me? It's a Dalek.
But without the incineration beam, it's just an annoying Roomba.
Hold on. Let me fix something here.
Intoxicate.
Oh, that's perfect. Hello, Mixed Nutcases. It's time for another episode of
Epic
Bites. That's right. This is a crossover episode of Epic and Nutty Bites. You've heard some of them on this show, and they've heard some of me on their show. Yeah, that works. We're doing a very special crossover geek gift-giving guide for both the Epic fans and the Nutty Bites. With us today, we have Mark Cabot, host of Epic.
Hello.
We have Andy Lastname.
I mean, good day.
We have Richard Gray.
Hello.
And we have Adam Williams from formerly The Cutting Room Floor and Fredericton This Week.
Yes. I was on both of those shows.
At the same time.
You're still on one of them.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
My normal antagonist.
We'll call it the popular one.
And my normal antagonist and co-host, Tech.
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Tech.
He's bilingual.
First of all, how are you guys doing anyway?
We're doing great.
We never start the shows with a little bit of small talk and find out how everybody is doing. How's your week been?
Oh, this is like the contestant banter at the beginning of one of those game shows.
Wait, does that mean that you're going to kiss me on the lips?
Absolutely. Like that guy on The Feud. How are you? I hear you once wore pants. No, I'm sorry, Alex. That was a lie. Oh, very good. Ha ha ha. Now let's go to the lightning round.
For the listeners of our show, Tech and I were both sick at the last two episodes because we recorded them on the same day when we were both sick.
This is true.
But I'm feeling a lot better now. Tech, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling much better. I think this had to do with that mouth-kissing thing from before. It's probably why we were still sick.
And yeah. Ree, did you catch it, by the way?
I can report that I did catch it. It knocked me on my butt, but I am now pretty much through with it, so yay.
To quote Jane Cobb, this is why I don't kiss her on the mouth.
Oh, God.
We're not going to elaborate so we can still air it on the radio.
That's right.
Richard, how are you doing?
And for the Mixed Nutcases, the fans of Nutty Bites, Epic is the other show that I do, helping out. I was invited onto by Mark many years ago, and we used to record this all live together. Now that Tech and I have moved to Ontario, we do it all through the magic of phone lines.
She signed an imaginary agreement that makes her not able to leave.
And post-edit mixing, magics of the internets. And computers.
The magics of the internet. So how's Andy doing?
Better than Rich.
Oh, did
apparently.
I skip Richard? I was going in my order. I can't see which order you guys are sitting in.
No, because I said, Richard, how are you doing earlier?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
It's my turn now?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Richard
okay.
is sad.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing better now, you know. I'm doing okay. Not bad. Unfortunately, my last, homebrew didn't turn out as planned.
Oh, yes, you've been...
There was a copy porter. Apparently, I miscalculated on some of the volumes and turned out a little bit more watery flavoring than I want, and the copy beans I use, sadly, were again past their prime. It's still drinkable, but it's not one that I'd be looking forward to really sharing with anybody. It's not because I want to keep it for myself, it's just the flavor is not there.
Was that the kind you fed to me?
No.
Oh, okay.
But, Rich, you can use it for cooking. You can cook ribs in it.
Or bathing.
I could... Okay, yeah.
And Andy goes
too far again.
We're
going to have to
ask
Andy how he's doing eventually, too.
But first, wait, Rich, how bad is retail?
I actually enjoy my job, the most of the part anyways. My section of the store has not gotten really crazy yet. Other places like the customer service desk and basically the front-end cashiers, I feel sorry for them.
I really enjoy walking through your section of the store, by the way.
I wonder why.
There are like 80-some-inch TVs there, which I want to buy one.
I got shinies.
Now you're saying 80-inch TVs, not 81-inch TVs.
Maybe 81. 81-inch would be a little bit better than the 80-inch.
No, 81-inch. 80, comma, 1-inch TVs.
No. And by the way, there wouldn't be a comma there, just so you know. Anyway, it's the Andy, Oxford. How are you doing?
It's an Oxford comma.
No, you don't know what you do not. You clearly do not understand what an Oxford comma is.
Hey,
Andy, how are you doing?
It stands for a pause, and there you go.
This is why we don't ask how we're doing.
If you'd like to
semicolon.
If you'd like to tweet Andy at Andy last name, and if you'd like to write him an email, feel free to go to the Epic website at geekglue.com/epic and write all your flame mail there. I'll be sure to forward every single one of them to him. Andy, how are you doing?
I need friends. And it's really cold.
Do not ask for friends on the internet. You get there's two kinds, and they're both not good.
Send me your pictures. There you go. I want to see what you look like. I want to see what our fan looks like.
That's right. Because, yes, sir. Because he's on Craigslist too. So,
no, I'm not too bad.
Lots of friendly people looking for friends at 4chan.org.
Nothing but upstanding people on 4chan. Yeah, not too bad. Looking forward to the warm weather. Not looking forward to the torrential rain that's coming with the warm weather. But that's New Brunswick. Minus 21 day, 10 degrees above the next.
Yep. In, it was minus 21 today.
Yes.
And I believe we're having 100 millimeters of rain coming in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Yes, now that all of the drains are frozen over, that's when the rain can come.
Somebody put plastic over the boards. Because that's what happened to us last year.
Yes, that's true. That is exactly what happened to us last year, and that's we've been rebuilding the studios ever since.
That's true. I hope they fix the roof.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll mention it to NCAF. And finally, Adam, we neglect you so much on this show.
Yeah, you didn't even give him a chair.
Yeah, we didn't even have him on for the first 65 episodes.
He's sitting in a corner.
He literally is, folks. We're in Studio B, and he's in the corner on the extra mic that I set up.
Let's not forget the episodes he's been on and never said anything.
That's true. You were on...
two episodes.
Yeah, there were two episodes a long time ago. I think there was one of them that was on YouTube, so you can be seen and not heard. Mm.
There was one where he was just sort of peeking in at the window. None of you guys saw him.
but you did.
Of course.
Okay. How are you doing, Adam?
Doing all right.
Okay. All right. I think we should get on to topic then.
Oh, please, God, yes. Years ago, I did a special Nutty Bites episode telling people what kind of gifts to buy geeks. And it's become a especially popular one. Many people told me that they would send the episode to relatives that had no idea what to buy them because they didn't understand any of their interests. So I thought we would do a fun update on that topic. So we're just going to talk about the various gifts that would be appropriate for geeks.
And there are many different types of geeks, just so you know. There are audiophiles, kind of like myself, who do podcasting. So maybe we could talk a little bit about that when you have a chance, because I kind of want to talk about
There's all sorts of kinds of geeks. We discussed on the last episode that we did many years ago about this, is that, you know, football fans and geeks are no different. I mean, they both obsess over one specific topic and will be happy with any paraphernalia that you give them. But the first thing I want to go through is I want to have just a couple of really good general guides to tell people how to shop for somebody that is into something that they're not into. And Tech has a great point that he's going to start us off with.
A geek is anyone who is unashamed about the things they're passionate about. So geeks tend to form communities, and all around are local points of consumption of, you know, whatever our geekdom is. So whether you're a music geek or a knitting geek like my mother, or, you know, a craft geek, or, you know, classic science fiction and comic book geeks, we all go around our little local shops. And while you might be tempted to, you know, your friend's an audiophile, you want to pick him up a nice set of headphones, you go to the big box store and, you know, buy him a nice looking set of headphones, he's probably got better or wants better. So my advice to anyone shopping for a geek, if you don't know what to get them, is skip the big box stores and find the little local store that they go to get all their really neat stuff, and talk to the guy at the store. Most likely, they know your friend or family member. We all tend to congregate around these little stores. Find where they are and talk to them and see if they, one, know the person. They probably do. And if not, see if they recommend anything. If you're completely stumped for ideas as to what to get an audiophile, go to Long and McQuaid and see what they got.
If you're in Fredericton.
If you're in Fredericton, most likely they've got something that your audiophile friend will go completely bonkers for.
Sage advice. Sage advice. I completely wholeheartedly agree.
That's what your mother used to do, right?
Absolutely.
His mother used to go to the gaming store for where he would get all his Warhammer stuff when he was a kid, walk in and say, "What am I buying Fred this year?" And geeks, if you happen to know somebody that's not a geek, like, say, a wife or something, walk into her favorite jewelry store and do the same thing.
So what we're going to do on this episode is we will strain to give some advice and some ideas, maybe, of what you can get those geeks, depending on if they're into any of the things that we mention. Who wants to start us off with some cool ideas?
For the Whovian, you can actually get a Doctor Who sonic screwdriver, but it's a TV remote.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've seen that in the Harry Potter wand, too.
Yeah, the wand.
Yeah, there's a Harry Potter one, but this one is like that, but cool.
Can you do more than one thing with it, though? I think the Harry Potter wand, you could pretty much only flick the TV on and off, or I forget what it was. There was like a down flick, left, right, and up, or something like that.
You can change channels, I think, and volume up. The different movements would cause that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a universal remote, so I'm not really sure.
Be interested.
You'll have to buy me one. Find out.
Yeah, I guess it would depend on which version of it is, because, you know, the Matt Smith one opened up. Maybe it had different extra buttons on it or something like that. There's a few things that I've seen. There's one thing that I saw was pretty cool. It is a pocket-sized retro NES emulator.
The Pintendo.
The Pintendo or the Pitendo?
Something like that. Yeah, it's
spelled P-I-T-E-N-D-O. So if Pitendo, you have...
Yeah, it's based on the Raspberry Pi architecture.
Oh, okay, that would make sense then. That's pretty cool for anybody who's like a kind of a retro geek, and that's more of a plaything. It's not like an actual Nintendo or anything, Matt, but it runs you about $120, so it's a pretty pricey little gift there.
Yowza, that is big.
Mm. But it's pocket-sized. You could bring it with you.
One of my favorite things has been all of these geeky hoodies that are almost like costumes. Not the ones that Adam is known for making, by the way. Not as cool as that, but almost as cool as that. If you go to ThinkGeek, you can find them. You can find them on Amazon, and you can find them in a lot of geek stores where, you know, you're going to be wearing Captain America's hoodie or a TARDIS hoodie. Or my favorite is the Chewbacca one because it's all fuzzy. And
that's reversible, actually, and it's got Han Solo's jacket on the other side.
Some of them are reversible. Some of them are not. There's also the Star Trek hoodies. I am partial to the original series over the Next Generation. I just was never a fan of the Next Generation uniforms. But the coolest one of the Star Treks that I'm looking at right now is the Wesley Crusher rainbow tunic one, you know, with the rainbows across the shoulders.
And if you do buy that for someone, you have to tweet a picture to Will Wheaton.
Yes, it's so awesome, and
it's part of the purchase agreement, I think.
Could I ask a favor of all the hosts, of all the things that you're mentioning now, if there's a web link of where to go pick it up, let us know so we could put it in the show notes for Nutty Bites and for Epic.
Yes, well, I'm telling you right now, it's at thinkgeek.com, and I'll copy this so that it'll go in the email. There's all sorts of amazing hoodies that you can buy. And depending on your price range, you know, you can get something really cool for like $70, which is expensive. But there's a bunch that are on sale right now that you can get them for like $30, which is really great for a hoodie. And there's even one here that's only $10 and it would be perfect for a rich, but they only have size small. It's a Brewmaster's hoodie. Yeah.
Ooh.
And in addition to that, they also have... a bunch of coats, like Captain Jack's coat, the Doctor's coat, all sorts of like really cool coats that you've seen characters wear. So, you know, your geek can feel like they're part of it. And they even have the Space Odyssey astronaut hoodie, which, you know, they're referring to Commander Chris. And I have one big bone to pick. There's an American flag on the hoodie. So what I would do is I would just sew a Canadian flag over that to make it more authentic. And that's only $30.
I have one that I would have, I think it would be really good for anybody who's sarcastic or somebody like Fred, for instance. It is...
I'm never sarcastic.
Ba-dum-bum. It is a dihydrogen monoxide containment unit. It has a large warning printed down the side, may cause diaphoresis and acute tissue hydration, which is pretty cool. And it's shaped like... Well, it's obviously a thermos, but it's shaped kind of like a gas canister, which is pretty cool.
dihydrogen monoxide is the most dangerous substance ever released to humanity. So having a very important, properly labeled safety container to carry your dihydrogen monoxide around is very important. I like that idea. Good sage safety advice for the holidays.
And you can find out more about that at DHMO.org.
Remember, don't inhale dihydrogen monoxide. It can kill you.
That's correct. 100% of people to have ever tried it either are dead or will die.
Who else would like to go? Adam, we haven't heard from you. All right. Or hold on, sorry. We haven't heard from a lot of people. So who would like to go next?
Don't all jump at once.
I'll talk for a bit then.
Let's go alphabetical order. Adam.
So I just jotted down some things here. If you're a fan of anything related to TV and movies, they probably made a Funko figure of this.
Yes.
Funko?
Yes.
Funko.
Oh, Funko.
The pop figures, they look like bobbleheads.
Is it Funko?
Yes.
Yeah,
F-U-N-C-O.
I just thought it was Funko. So yeah, there's
no, because there is a Funko. There's an FUNKO.com. Is that Funko that you have up
there? That's one of them, yes.
Is it?
That is the Jim Rayner's.
Am I right? Or
no, I think you're wrong, Andy.
As always.
That's usually how I assume
it. They make like little bobbleheads and like vinyl figures and things of just about everything, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I've got a Luke Skywalker and an Emperor Palpatine.
And they also make blank ones. So if you don't have a particular character, you can always just buy a blank one and paint one yourself.
Oh, I was wrong. It is FUNKO.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a historic event. I was wrong.
And he admits to it.
And
he admits to it. That's a big thing.
Spoiler alert. I know the person I bought this for isn't listening to this podcast, but I am actually taking one of the blank ones and turning it into an action figure for someone for Epiphany after Christmas. So they're really cool. And you can take one that already has what you want, and you can modify it if you need to.
Cool.
So, like, you can put the actual rank stripes on Uhura like she's supposed to have.
Take a heat gun to the T-1000.
Let's hear one from Fred, since he's the next in alphabetical order. Sorry, Richard.
That's okay.
Hi. If you have a gamer geek on your list, your gamer geek friend or family member knows about this thing called Steam. Go and ask them what Steam is. It's a website. It's also like a virtual game store and center for all of our nerddom and repository. Steam does this really cool thing every holiday season called the Steam Sales. So then they drop the prices on all their games, and they have these crazy limited time sales on all of the coolest games of the past year and ever, and they bring back retro games. And what they do is they make all of us gamers go broke for 1 month of the year because we have to buy all of these games. The Steam sales are insane. So if you have a gamer...
$2 or 66 cents for a game.
They've actually created a new game out of that, which wasn't intentional. Essentially, the game is to try to get all the games. But speaking of that, if you're into the old-style kind of Sierra adventure-type games, where you're trying to think of the name. I suppose it is adventure, isn't it? That's that genre?
Adventure, action
adventure. Like Secret of Monkey Island, that type of thing.
I think those are
The place where you can still get games like that.
GOG?
Yeah, they'll usually download games with the emulator and everything, the old DOS.
Oh, yeah, well,
emulator.
And there's new ones. They haven't stopped. Like, there's a lot of indie games on Steam, ones that you can't really get anywhere else, and this is a platform they're using to sell their games or distribute their games.
The Greenlight system, I think they call it.
Yeah, and so you can get new games in this style, which is really quite cool.
Word of advice, if you've ever seen a YouTube show called Steam Roulette, you know that a lot of those indie games aren't very good.
Some of them are really good, though.
That's why you always read the reviews. The reviews are pretty good for that.
But my point is, if you have a gamer friend, I almost guarantee you that they have a Steam account, and they are going to love these Steam sales. So find how they pay for their Steam and find a way to juice up their account a little bit, and watch the cool games that come into the house, because they're awesome.
Yes, I've spent a ridiculous amount of money on Steam.
I actually bought an application, not a game, off of Steam.
You're weird.
There's something you didn't... Like,
that's generalized.
The last Steam sale, they had this, oddly enough, a budgeting software. And I was surprised to find out that they sold things other than games on Steam. It is surprising the stuff you can get off of there.
Oh, yeah, you can get anything on Steam. I heard somebody had got QuickBooks at an amazing rate off Steam.
So, for myself, Like, yeah, the games, stuff are cool, and the little figurines are cool. I got lots of those, too. But I've always liked, you know, their weaponry. I'm sure there's no one, if not in studio, then, you know, of course, on the air with us, who likes weaponry whatsoever. But I'm talking about nerd-related stuff. Like, right now, I am looking at a picture of a Hyrule shield with two Master Swords that actually cross right through it for a whopping $46 from a Canadian retailer.
Is it full-sized?
It is full-sized.
Interesting.
And so
nice.
So, I mean, like, for more stuff, like, of course, you know, it depends on a person's age and what their interests are. From the same vendor, you can get replicas of, like, the swords from 300 and then the shield. And they used to have one on this that was actually Frostmourne sword. Well, Frostmourne sword. It was a sword Frostmourne, sorry. But there was one in vinyl. There was one actually made of steel, like, that kind of stuff I always loved, and I would love to have a place that I could actually collect and display that. So basically, Christmas morning, if I opened it up and I hauled out like a Hyrule shield, I'd probably lose it, even though I've never...
And really... then all of the bushes in the area around his house would be gone.
If I buy you a Hyrule shield, you would immediately lose it?
I probably would.
What's the
would.
Point of buying it for you then?
You
should take better care of your stuff.
Well, I'd probably go sledding with it first, actually.
You'll probably what?
Well, I would use the sled.
Oh,
probably.
Go sledding with it. Okay. Yes.
Now, that being said, that's probably one of the gifts that most geeks would probably enjoy is some sort of weaponry, oddly enough.
Well, I'm not saying bladed. Not edged, I should say.
I took part in... Oh, I got to find that. Last year, I took part in an online gift exchange hosted by Reddit. They do this giant Christmas gift exchange, largest in the world, actually. When I was looking for the gift for the guy that I got last year, I actually ended up buying him a battle axe, which is kind of neat. But I came across, and I'll find it, I'll put it in the show notes. I found a place that makes pokeballs, like metal actual pokeballs, that you, like not just like toys.
Do they open up?
I can't remember. I'll find the link that I had last year, and we'll put it in the show notes. Mm. But it was a toss up between that and an actual like and the battle axe. Because the guy was really into D&D and into Pokemon, and I was like, "Oh my god, I'm not into Pokemon, and I wanted one." And you can get them like they make them custom. You can get the custom colors, and you can have it battle damage and all sorts of weird stuff. It's really really quite cool if you're into that.
Anybody ever notice how much animal violence and animal cruelty is advocated in a children's show like Pokemon that, you know, forces you to collect, trap, and encage animals and then fight, fight for your amusement and bidding? I mean, children do this and watch cartoon shows about this, and that's okay, but Michael Vick does it for real, and all of a sudden, that's bad.
So what you're saying is Michael Vick played too much Pokemon.
Because that was for profit, okay? That's why.
What's that?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, really, Vick's case, though, because actually that was for profit, right? There's betting involved. Whereas in Pokemon, they get it for a gym badge.
They do that to be
it's
number one.
It's different. That's right. It's different. It is to better yourself.
Maybe he was just trying to collect them all. Anybody ever ask him?
Pitbull, I choose you.
Well, and the key is that he needs to have the right Pokeball because, you know, when you try to shove a whole-sized dog into one of those little tiny balls, unless you have the right technology, aww, it's not going to work right.
Okay, moving on. This is getting a little too icky.
We here at Epic do not advocate nor support anything he says ever.
We do not condone animal fighting whatsoever.
That being said, if you do manage to create a technology to safely store a dog in a small 4-inch ball, feel free to split the profits.
Don't invent
with us.
It. No, that's horrible. I can say that getting back to the whole weapons topic, last year some fans of the show, you may have heard of them, Heath and Angela of the Red Dwarf Introcast, Heath was able to get all of the Power Ranger swords. I don't know all the configurations, but Angela was a huge Power Ranger fan. He thought he was buying one, then he saw another, so he bought two and somehow ended up with almost all of them. And that was her Christmas present. So
wow.
Find out what your friend or loved one is a geek about, and there's most likely a weapon you can get. I mean, heck, I would kill for a replica of Needle from Valerian Steel or Ice, either one. Those are A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones.
Listen in tech?
Weapons.
Yeah, but the problem is she would kill once she gets the replica of the sword Ice from A Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire.
Watch out, little blonde kids.
So that's why you need an alternate You need to buy two.
You know, that also sounds like a gift for her for me kind of thing. Here, look, sweetie, I bought you a big sword that I can play with.
But we have two of them, so now we have epic battles.
I think it's time for us to take a little bit of a break here. We're going to go listen to some adverts, and we're going to have a little word with Andy because we always have to around halfway through the show. We'll continue this conversation right after the break.
We are Clone Dance Party, an Orphan Black intro cast.
There was so many questions that weren't answered that I was like, well, but I have to know.
Vic doesn't seem that smart. I don't know what Sarah was doing with him.
That's a real testament to the actors, because I really feel like they're different people. So yeah. She's really doing a good job.
I totally agree, Lynette. I forget that they're the same person.
I am totally unobjective about Allison. I love that character to death.
She became my least favorite clone.
Clone Dance Party in iTunes, on Facebook, and on Twitter.
Welcome back. You're listening to Epic Bites, a crossover episode between Nutty Bites and Epic, where we are discussing some geek gift giving today. Who wants to continue our discussion?
I've got something a little slightly higher class than what we were talking about previously. It's kind of neat, and you may have seen some of this done in the past where people like would modify like artwork and whatnot to add like sci-fi themes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You can buy a set of prints that are like historical photos from like World War II, mm-hmm. But have been crossed with Star Wars.
I've seen those.
So there's like, you know, soldiers coming down the street with like AT-ATs in the background, or TIE fighters in the dogfights and things like that. And they
look authentic.
They're edited to fit like it was a photo taken.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that. I think I saw that pop up on IO9 on my news feed a little while ago. But it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it was kind of neat.
Anybody else?
Everybody well, else I can keep going if no one else has anything.
I'm sure you could. Anyways, I guess I'm here.
Anybody else?
Bueller. Anyways, I guess I'm here actually that is completely useless. So much so that it's actually called a useless box, which Andy has one.
I own one.
Yes.
All it is, these things.
No, there's an update.
What?
There's an update to the useless box. This year you can get Jules Verne's useless box.
That's what I'm looking at now, actually.
I have
made
the classic.
Of wood. It's got brass. It's so pretty.
Very nice. And all it is that you flick a switch, basically door opens up, and this little arm pops out, and it shuts itself back off again.
Wow, this is such
That
so
is
much
all that it does, but
looking.
It's really neat.
I need to buy this.
I know. So upgrade it.
So you can have companions?
Well, the classic useless box, at least the kit that you buy online, is literally like plexiglass bits that you screw together and you wire in the mechanism on the inside. The Jules Verne one is like brass with like gears and cogs.
Yep. And for $40, not that bad.
It's about the same price as the classic one.
It's completely useless, but it's cool.
It's awesome.
It is so awesome. And the looks on people's faces when they, because I have it in my office at work, the looks on people's faces when they come in and they just assume it's something that's going to give them a shock. Or whatnot, because it's like a box that just says useless box switch.
Because they know you.
Just because I have a shock pen mixed in with my other pens.
And that little shock game, the water shock game used to have.
That's a funny story. That's funny.
That's not.
We'll fill this, our listeners in. I bought this game from a toy store in town here. That's a reaction game. Essentially, it's the green light. Whoever presses the button first wins. However, it's with a twist is whoever presses the first button wins. But also is the only guy that doesn't get a shock. Everyone else gets an electric shock. Or if you hit too early, you get an electric shock. And I bought it, and it was kind of fun. And I was talking to the guy at the store, and I'm like, you know, it's a fun game, but I can only ever get my friends to play once.
Yeah. And he actually sold it at your garage sale, and you gave it – I bought it from
you. Yeah, you did.
And now I have it at work.
No, you don't. You don't have it at work anymore.
Oh, no. Do you guys have it?
It's in our house.
Oh, it's at your house now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't keep it at work because what was it? The health and safety officer wanted me to get rid of it.
Because pacemakers?
It's extremely painful.
It is.
I know it is. That's why I played it once.
I was telling the guy in the store this, and he's like, oh, they didn't like that? Here, try this. And he literally goes behind the counter, and he pulls out their like demo model of this shock pen. And he hands it to me. So I brought it to work, and it's sitting in my pens with all the rest of the pens. And it looks like a regular click pen until you press the button.
Which store is this, Andy?
Think Play down in Fredericton. They have the... If you're looking for the coolest toys ever in town here in Fredericton, Think Play. They've got like just this most assorted assortment of
keep
assortments.
Keep on talking, Andy.
Everything from emergency bow ties to inflatable bacon to like children's toys. Oh yeah, it's awesome.
So it's like a high-end ThinkGeek kind of?
Sort of. They used to be separate stores. It's tied in with an art supply store. So if you're looking for art supplies, yeah, it's the place to go. And they used to have a separate dedicated toy store, and they sort of amalgamated the two. And so the back of the art store is this awesome toy store.
And the art store is called Creative Endeavor, I believe.
Yeah, Endeavors, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I've been browsing through a really good website that you should check out. It's called thisiswhyimbroke.com.
Yes.
And we went through that completely in the last episode. It is fantastic.
Yeah. We did an episode about that one time as well, way, way back.
But there's always some new stuff. Batman Tumbler Golf Cart was one of the things I saw in there. That's kind of a more of an expensive one. And there's one that they're trying to get. Some guy's 3D printing it now, but I think he's said something about he wants to launch a Kickstarter or something. And it is a GLaDOS ceiling lamp.
That is really cool. On the other hand, how have we not mentioned
a 3D printer?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
If you have money.
You just mentioned a Batman Tumbler golf cart. I think money is out of the window at the moment.
Yeah,
I think it's maker.com. You can order different actual 3D printers. There's a science center in town here who's downtown. They have a 3D printer, and they'll print stuff off for people. And
oh, Science East has a 3D printer? That's
science
awesome.
Science East has a MakerBot, yeah.
MakerBot is an awesome choice. And if you like to tinker, you can get the MakerBot in components, and you could put it together yourself. Really awesome.
And they actually have one of those. There is a makerspace in Fredericton. They operate out of there's an arts center in town here.
Mm-hmm. That's the Multicultural Center.
Oh, okay.
The old YMCA.
Yes. And they have one of the homemade MakerBot things.
Right.
That they were updating. And apparently they used to be able to play music on them.
So
just by varying the speed of the motor?
Yeah.
I've got another suggestion. If your friend likes gaming, tabletop games and so forth, one of the things about if you're buying for someone who's a geek, but you're not exactly geeky yourself, it's kind of hard to really, you know, get along sometimes. So a great gift to give them is something that they can do with you. So there's a bunch of really great tabletop games that are pretty easy that if you're not an uber geek and aren't interested in rolling dice and figuring out stats of a character, they can play these games with you. The first one that seems to get everybody excited and everybody has fun, no matter if they're geek or not, as long as they're over 18, is Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like apples to apples, but if you don't say I'm going to hell at least once during the game, you're playing it wrong. And there's a whole bunch of expansions. You can even make up your own cards, and you can, if you're in Canada, there's a special box set that you can only buy in Canada. The basic box has special Canadian cards. You can't buy it anywhere else except Canada, which is awesome.
They're known for their non-normal business practice, I guess. During Black Friday or Cyber Monday, I can't remember, one of those two, they had a sale where it was about all the bull droppings that a lot of other stores will do, and they literally were offering that, a box full of poop. it sounds like a joke, but that's what they actually had, this big box, and it was labeled, and you could buy it, and it actually had that inside.
So it was a box of excrement,
pretty much.
A box of excrement, very good.
As I heard someone call it, so you can use the same acronym, they call it bovine scatology.
Nice.
Yes.
The neat thing about Cards Against Humanity is, many of their cards are very offensive. That's the point. They're so offensive, you're supposed to laugh. Some of them, due to certain public cases, became not funny anymore, and they stopped printing certain ones to basically say, yeah, we're not going to be that kind of a jerk. But there's still so much offensive material in this game that everyone can have fun. If you're not interested in that, we did try to play this once with someone who was so shy she couldn't read any of the cards. Another good game is Bang. Bang is a card game that is based on spaghetti westerns. And it's fun. You can play with 3 to 8, I believe, is the number. You can play a very quick game. You can play it all day. And again, you don't have to be a geek to play it. So if you buy this for a friend, you can end up playing the game together. and you can have a lot of fun. Anyone have any other quick tabletop games?
I actually found one that's similar to Cards Against Humanity, but it's called Personally Incorrect, which is similar in vein where it's like apples to apples, but most of the cards are featuring someone in your group, so you pick someone in your group as you read it, and the cards become about that person. It can be very, very funny if you pick the right person. I'm sorry, Joel.
Wait, isn't that how we play Cards Against Humanity anyway?
Yeah, but you don't feel as bad for some reason.
I'm going to throw in Gloom, which is a really good game.
Ooh, Gloom is fun.
I still want to play that.
We have it at our place. It's pretty fun. And
Munchkin.
Yeah.
Oh, Munchkin. Yeah, that was the other one.
Yeah, that is pretty much the only board game in recent memory I played. Mind you, I have played Bang, but when I played it, I was under the weather, shall we say, and I won thanks to Ree's help.
Was that at the
at the going away party? Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Like I said, there I won, even though I don't remember winning.
Oh.
Yeah, you weren't under the weather. You were under the table.
That was fun. Actually, he was literally under the table. It was quite fun.
Weather was the name of the beer he drank.
Some other neat ones. I think this is a little bit more geeky, but it's a nice way to kind of pull the non-geeks in. And it's a game called Werewolf
is a fantastic game to play at a party because it requires no equipment, no dice, no rules, no nothing. Once you have someone teach you how to play the game, you can then do it with a whole group of people. I think you can get the rule book for relatively cheap from almost anywhere. Find the rules online. It's just
This isn't LARPing, is it?
No. Not even.
I played the card version of this. So the card game version. So I don't know about this other version.
Right. So you have one person. You have everyone sits around in a circle. You have one person who's the game runner and one person who is the werewolf. No one knows who the werewolf is. Everyone closes their eyes. The werewolf opens his eyes and tells the game master whom he is going to gobble up. The game master then goes around the table and he taps one person on the shoulder, which is the person who has now been gobbled up. Everyone opens their eyes and one person announces, "I've been eaten." Now you have one person left. Now the whole group has to decide who's the werewolf. So they all start talking to each other. No one knows who it is for real, but they all have to pick one person to lynch. They then eliminate one player from the game. Now, if the werewolf is still alive, everyone closes their eyes. He gobbles up one more person. Everyone opens up their eyes and has to guess who the werewolf is. Now, the bigger games, when you get a table of around 12 or 15 people, you'll have other roles. Like you'll have a fortune teller who can pick one person and know if they're the werewolf or not. Or you can have a werewolf hunter who gets to kill extra people. And the game can be played very, very quickly. And it gets into the last time we played, we had a guy pulling cash money out of his wallet going, $20, he's the werewolf. And then he dies the next round. It's like, what did I tell you?
And the other great part about this is you don't need to sit at a table. You don't need anything in front of you. So when you're in a party atmosphere, you can be sitting wherever you need to sit. Nobody has to move. Nobody has to sit next to anybody. So it ends up being really funny and you could play it all night.
A game that requires no movement.
Feels like it's coming into a social experiment here. We've got about 4 minutes left to at least Epic because we're on the radio and we have a schedule to keep. So, is there any last
ideas
that we want to put in puzzle boxes?
Puzzle boxes. My wife got one of them 2 years ago, and it was really cool. There's different kinds. There's some for different countries, different complexities. Usually it's just a rectangular box, which seemingly no way to open it.
And then Hellraiser happens, and it's fine.
I was going to say, there's certain puzzle boxes you should probably avoid, though. Like, if you think, pinhead, no, don't drop it. But no, there's certain ones that, though, it's just with a series of these really complex moves and slides and pieces that can't actually come out and everything else. Like, basically, it looks really cool sitting there, and then we tell somebody, okay, open it. Like, what do you mean?
That reminds me of that episode of Big Bang, where Penny's trying to get Sheldon's flash drive out of the puzzle box.
Yeah.
Are you attached to this?
Smash.
Smash.
Yeah.
Adam, you've been marginalized again this episode. Is there anything else you want to add?
I guess I could mention one that basically I think everyone, at least in this room and on this podcast, enjoys. and you can pick up basically any big store. Nerf guns.
Nerf guns are awesome.
I used to work phone support, like a help desk, and we used to shoot at each other with Nerf guns while we were on calls, and the goal was to try to disrupt the other guy's call. So much fun.
Last Christmas, we had a Nerf, a sniper rifle at the store.
Fancy.
I wanted to try it so bad.
That was at Nutty and Tech's going away party.
I had the Nerf Gatling gun. Unfortunately, I had to return it because the bladder inside developed a leak. But you'd essentially pump it for like a minute or like 30 or 40 times. And then it was like this big rotating thing that would shoot these darts off. And every second one would be like a whistler. So it'd be like, and it was loud. It was like peck, 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 peck. And you'd like, it was hilarious.
The one thing I will say about Nerf guns is if you're going to buy a Nerf gun for somebody, buy two. At least that way you can defend yourself.
And nothing, and that's true.
Nothing makes a party more fun than a Nerf war. And I mean, well, our going away party when we left New Brunswick turned into a four-hour Nerf war.
Yep.
Children versus adults versus other children and human shields and don't get the Nerf darts in the barbecue, please. And oh, it was so much fun.
And if you're the person you're buying for is a geek about a particular topic, you can find an ology book about it. Shane sent us for Christmas the Doctor Who ology book, and it's fantastic. But there's all sorts. There's dragonology, and there's vampireology, and Star Trekology, and Star Warsology. Whatever it is, there's an ology book out there, and that's a really great gift.
I had to mention one more. And it ties back to something you said way, way back where you get the Dancing Groot Funko doll thing. For those that like to make things, and you mentioned people who like to knit, I crochet myself, standard geek. Online you can find a pattern to make a Dancing Groot crochet-like figure. It's really easy to do. Only takes an evening, and it's usually a hit. I made like a 4 or 5 of them.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You know, I don't quite. I'm gonna have to look into it further. I don't quite know if it certainly looks like a Funko toy, if the Dancing Groot is Funko or not.
It just came up
in the image search.
Sorry, I thought you were done.
Sorry, it just came up with the Google image search of Funko. So
there you go.
I'm not.
Last time we did an episode like this, the number one gift everybody on the cast wanted was the 8-bit wreath. Now, Richard, don't you own that?
Oh, hell yeah, I got one of them.
How is it? You're still in love with it?
Yes. It is running on fresh batteries this year, so it is ready for the season. And when it's not upstairs, it's usually downstairs on my wall.
I have some bad news. The gentleman who would sell those Pokeballs that he would custom make was shut down by Nintendo.
I can't understand why.
Yeah. No, that's too bad. All right, so we're going to finish up. I think we should go around and do our plugs here. Richard, you want to plug your social media?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm on Facebook, which I never use, so don't waste your time going there. But Twitter, though, it is EpicRich1. That is EpicRich and the number 1.
Andy.
You can hit me up at Andy or at Andy last name.
Adam.
I'm on Twitter, DR4Physics.
DR, the number 4.
The number 4, yes.
Physics.
You can find all our contact information at nimlast.org, where you can find this podcast, as well as our links to our Twitters, Facebook, everything else, and all the other cool podcasts we're on.
Which includes ours, Epic, geekly.com/Epic, and chsrfm.ca. I don't know what the / is on that. I don't think we have one, but you can go under...
I think it's /Epic.
I want to say it is, but I don't have time to test it. But you could try it. If it doesn't work, you can click on the little links up at the top. We're under Spoken Word. And, of course, you could find all of our... We got tons of stuff. We got our Facebook page. We got our Facebook discussion group. We got our Twitters. We got...
MySpace, BBSs, Post-it notes.
I think, actually, we only have those three. But, you know, that's a lot of stuff. And you can find all that over there on geekly.com as well. Are there any last words that we want to say on the way out?
Flipperty gibbet.
Oh, hey, you know what? We said we were going to try to decide what was the most awesomest toy that we mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Has anybody got any idea?
No, the only thought I've got is based on what Andy just said is that we really need to give out a phone number for our BBS.
Yeah, we do.
We'll have to have that ready for the next episode.
I got one. 347-Nutty42. There you go.
Oh, yeah. That's not a BBS, though. Don't try to call it with a modem. That's your voicemail line.
Oh, please try to call with a modem. I will play it on the show. What's everyone's favorite gift? What's the gift that we have discussed that you want?
I want that useless box that Rich was talking about.
You have the useless box.
I want the
new useless box. Okay. And link them together somehow.
I want
somehow.
The updated, the more useless box.
It's a pretty useless box.
I want the dancing Groot myself.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Considering you guys told me that I can't get the Michael Vick edition Pitbull in a Pokeball, because apparently that's illegal now.
What did Adam say he wanted?
Swords.
Sharp things.
Big shock.
Pokey things. Pokeball.
No.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Anything with space in it this year. Ooh. That's what I'm into.
Also, if anyone does want to buy me a gift and has more money than sense, any of the Maker Bots.
I just want a hula hoop.
I'm getting you a hula hoop now.
We're going to have to cut it off there. Because we are running, we are over time now, and I'm going to have to cut some stuff out of the episode.
That's all. Whenever I'm here, there's lots of stuff to cut out.
Usually. Yes, there is. So, yeah, head on over, hit us up, join the Facebook groups on either Nutty Bites or Epic. Tell us about the show. Tell us what you think. Tell us other things you want us to talk about, and we will talk at you again next time. Bye.
Bye.
Any writer will likely tell you, getting published is much harder than the writing itself. Who do I approach? How do I query? What should I put into my query? All valid questions and ones not always easily answered. On Get Published, I get you those answers. Authors, agents, and publishers talk about what works and what doesn't. Get Published is available on iTunes or on getpublishedpodcast.com.
I want to do some sound checks while we're waiting for Fred. Andy.
That makes sense.
Yes?
Speak. I don't often say that.
So. I'm funny.
It's sad that here we are talking about Christmas presents and stuff, and we somehow managed to go into the dark realm of Pokemon and Michael Vick.
Two topics that naturally combine.
Yeah, seriously.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Is it better now?
Try now.
Testing, 1, 2.
When Tech was trying to say hello, then you were just being rude, I guess.
No, I think Andy couldn't hear him over the sound of his own voice.
That happens a lot.
Okay, I think we're good, because that microphone isn't powered, so I need to crank up the volume on a little bit louder. Alrighty, how do you want to do the intro
to... Pump up the volume, freeze.
Why are you still listening? You shouldn't be listening. Turn it off.
Go outside and play.
There's no magic cut. There's no cut scene at the end of this show. Sorry, we're not Marvel. Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.